بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي زدني علما. We're discussing that in the distribution of the mali ghanima there was difference of opinion between the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. There were three groups of Sahaba radiallahu anhum who claimed that they were deserving of an extra share. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the beginning verses of Suratul Anfal, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the aspect that we need to bring within ourselves. Whenever there is differences of opinion, it has to be settled as quick as possible. Else there will not be any barakah and blessings. Fattaqullah. And that was the advice to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge, presence, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to whatever you say. Be careful. It's a difference of opinion. Let it be guarded, guard your tongue, and be careful of what you are going to be saying. It can affect your a'mal, it can destroy your akhirah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Abdullah ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu for the protection of the booty and the spoils of war, and he must travel with it. When they come to the area of Safra, the Mali Ghanima and the booty was distributed. Amongst the captives, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two were exceptions. Nadr ibn al-Harith and Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayth, these two kuffar were the exception to the rule. The rule, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted Sahaba radiallahu anhum, istawsu bin nisa'i khaira, be very careful how you treat these captives. They kuffar, but be careful. So the two exceptions, Nadr ibn al-Harith, he was the personality whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Quran, then he would say, in hadha illa asatirul awwaleen. These are fairy tales. These are stories. You want better stories? I can give you stories. And he would narrate the stories, the incidents of the previous nations, emperors, kings. And in this manner, he would distract the people from listening to Quran Sharif. Now, he was a thorn in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he needs to be killed. And Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayth, he was the one responsible, number one, in Makkah Mukarrama, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in sajda, he is the one responsible for taking the inside, the entrails of the camel and throwing it on the back and the neck of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the person that spat, na'udhu billah, on the mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says he also has to be killed. So these two people were killed. Continuing with the journey, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, istawsu bin nisa'i khaira. Going towards Madina Munawwara, look after these captives. Abu Aziz ibn Umair, Mus'ab ibn Umair, we famously hear Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab radiallahu anhu's brother Abu Aziz says, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, look after your captive, such was the level of compliance, adherence to that command. Abu Aziz says, the captives, the people who were looking after me, in whose care I was, they would eat khajur and give me food and bread to eat. Others would say, they would allow us to ride the conveyance and they would walk. We would ride the conveyance. And the owner, the Muslim, he is walking with the conveyance, leading the kafir, going into Madina Tayyibah. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, be careful, be guarded how you treat and take my good counsel regarding these captives. Look after these captives. Istawsu bil usara khairan. Look after these captives. After the battle of Badr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the night after the battle, did not sleep. He was restless. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was really uneasy. Sahaba radiallahu anhum come and they ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we can see that you're disturbed. Something is troubling you. What is it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I hear the moaning and the groaning of my uncle Abbas, not yet a Muslim. And he's in chains. So this is disturbing me, number one. Number two is that I heard the whisperings of the Ansar. Ansar are sharing sentiments of killing Abbas. My uncle, I know he's a kafir, but now they are having this intentions of killing him. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulallah, should I not go and settle it for you? I can go and speak to the Ansar regarding this. Nabi sallam said, no problem, speak to the Ansar. So Umar radiallahu anhu goes, and he addresses the Ansar and he says, listen, Nabi sallam is a little bit worried and concerned you're going to kill his uncle. So they said, yeah, but it's blood for blood and this is war and all is fair in love and war, we would say. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, listen, but what if I told you Nabi sallam is happy about him not being killed? Well, if that's the happiness of Nabi sallam, gladly we accept it. We will never kill him. We won't kill him. So they said, no problem, we're not going to be killing Abbas. So Abbas now, he comes into the company of Nabi Sam. Nabi Sam looks at him and says, Abbas, what happened to you? When you were taken into captivity, Abul Yasir radiallahu anhu, a very smaller sahabi in physique and structure, bodily structure compared to you, took you into captivity. What happened? You huge, muscular, built, shaped. So he says, Abul Yasir, the day of Badr, when he was in front of me, he looked huge. He looked much bigger than me. Abul Yasir says, when I saw Abbas, he was small. I took him into captivity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that an angel had assisted Abul Yasir to take Abbas into captivity. It was the angel that looked very huge. Abul Yasir is small. But that was the angels that were there to help the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So Nabi Sallam gives him the da'wat of Islam. He's speaking to him. And some say that Abbas radiallahu anhu embraced the deen of Islam day and then, concealed it until just before Fathu Makkah. And some say he did not embrace Islam, he only embraced Islam just before the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, just before he embraced the deen of Islam. Be as it may, there was some discussion. The discussion was regarding the captives. There's a white VW Tiguan parked blocking other cars from exiting in the basement. White Tiguan. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking about ransom that needs to be paid. People have to pay the ransom for their freedom now. Abbas, so some say this was the catalyst of his Islam. So he claims poverty. He says, Ya Rasul, I got no money. I want to give ransom. Nabi Sam says, you got no money? He says, yeah, I got no money. No money at all. Nabi Sam says, you forgot the money you gave your wife. Abbas says, Ya Rasulullah, how you know about that? I mean, that's a top secret between me and my wife. No one else knows about it. I know I was embarking on this journey. I left it in safekeeping. How you know? So he says, no, you have to be the Nabi of the time for you to give me that information. And some say he embraced the deen of Islam at that time. Subhanallah. He shell-shocked, can't believe it. How Nabi Sam knows about it? So he becomes a Muslim according to some narrations. Subhanallah. Then Abbas, now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is discussing with Sahaba radiallahu anhum. There is option, full choice. There is nothing cast in stone, no revelation. Permission, choose what you want. Are we going to collect ransom from the captives? Or are we going to be killing these captives? We've got 70 captives, what do we do? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam threw it out into the open and he said, Sahaba, come, tell me what do you all require, what do you all want? Nabi Sallam said, لَوْ كَانَ مُطْعِبُ بْنُ عَدِيٍ حَيًّا ثُمَّ كَلَّمَنِي فِي هَا أُولَئِ النَّتْنَا لَأَطْلَقْتُهُمْ لَهُ Had Mut'am bin Adi, Mut'am ibn Adi, he was a kafir. Had he been alive today, negotiated on behalf of all 70 captives, I would have given them freedom, emancipated them without even a penny or a cent. But why? Mut'am ibn Adi, when I was returning from Ta'if, he comforted me, he gave me shelter and security. Yet he was a kafir. He was the one that made every effort to end the boycott against Banu Hashim. I can never forget that favor even of a kafir. The favor of that kafir I will not forget. And Nabi Sallam expressed it to Sahaba, if the kafir was alive, I would have accepted the ransom today. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَمْكَنَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ وَإِنَّمَا هُمْ إِخْوَانُكُمْ بِالْأَمْسِ. Remember, Allah has given you full authority and grip over these kuffar. Although yesterday they are your blood and family, these were your family members yesterday, but today is a different game, because now we are Muslim, they are kuffar. You are my friends, those are my enemies. Tell me, what should I do? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and many Sahaba radiallahu anhu held the opinion, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, financially we are strangled. We are not really in a good space financially. How about we collect the ransom? It will give us some financial muscle. We can build on that to fight them in the future. We would have armor. We would have a lot of equipment in the next battle. Number one. Number two is, if we have to free them and collect ransom, we hope they would become Muslim. We hope. If Allah wills, they will become Muslim. So Nabi Sam heard Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, any other eyes? Umar radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I see that all of these captives, amongst us Muslims, we have relatives. So see Abbas, his brother is Hamza radiallahu anhu. Give Abbas to his brother Hamza. Hamza, you must kill your brother. Aqil, your brother is Ali. Ali, we're gonna give you your brother Aqil. You kill your brother. Now you express full love for Nabi Isa by killing your own relative. So Umar came with this, you know, this idea, and Nabi Isa is listening to it, and he says, look at that love of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Like, put us to the acid test. We're gonna kill our relatives. We'll go for it. Give me also my relative. I'll kill him. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's burn a huge fire. We throw every one of them. We catapult them into the fire. Some heard it. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam inclined. Nabi sallallahu inclined to collecting ransom. Is there any revelation from Allah? No. Is it anything impermissible and haram? No. Full choice, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You decide. Ransom, collecting captives, really, totally up to you. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the choice is there. Ransom or kill. But tell Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if we collect ransom, the number of people that we are going to free this year, next year will become shaheed. So we got 70 captives, you want to take ransom? Next war, next year, 70 will become shaheed. Sahaba says, captives for sure. Because we know we're going to become shaheed tomorrow. We want shahada. Now that's another reason why they were happy. Amazing. Where Sahaba radiallahu anhum, what they were thinking? We're ready for it. Collect the ransom. Why kill them? We can earn shahada tomorrow. So take the shahada. So collect ransom and shahada for us next year. So Nabi Sam inclined towards that. And he accepted that we will be collecting the ransom from the kuffar according to your financial status. What is your bracket? We'll give you an amount we know you can, it's affordable and within reach for you. We're going to collect ransom. So everyone's amount was a varying and different amount. And if you had no money, you were not by the financial means, someone sponsored you and you came out to fight against us. If you have any skill, then you will teach us. Read and any language that needs to be taught to our children. So the children amongst them, Zayd radiallahu anhu was one who was taught how to read and write by the kuffar. Amongst other sahaba, the younger sahaba, so they were taught. And if you have nothing, it's okay. You have no skill, no money, you're free, it's okay, you can go. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then addressed sahaba radiallahu anhum after these opinions had come in. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Abu Bakr, O Abu Bakr, your example and similitude is like that of Mikail alayhi salam. You see, this is the angel that brings the sustenance, he brings rain, he brings good and things that are desired of by mankind and by the human race. So that's Mikail alayhi salam, that's your example, Abu Bakr. And amongst the Anbiya alayhim salam, you like Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he can't tolerate anyone being a kafir, even wants to make istighfar for his father. Allah says, no, you can't make istighfar for your father. That's not allowed. It's a red line, not permissible. So you're a very soft person by nature, and you incline towards such decisions that will be easy. And then, oh, Umar, your example is like that of Jibreel alayhi salam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to destroy a nation, Jibreel destroyed these people, killed them in this manner. And amongst the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, Umar, your example is like that of Nuh alayhi salam. He made dua to curse his people. Ya Allah, they are not bringing iman in me. Ya Allah, destroy them. Rabbi la tadharni farda. Leave not a single individual. Kill all of them. So Nabi Sam said this, then revelation comes. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍ أَن يَكُونَ لَهُ أَسْرَى حَتَّى يُثْخِنَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the better decision for you was to kill the captives. The better decision. Although you took the opinion of collecting the ransom, the better decision would have been. So it's not a sin, it's not a violation. It was just the better option if this was taken. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, lesson for us. No two people can think the same. Amongst Sahaba radiallahu anhum, senior Sahaba, Khulafa Rashidun, difference of opinion, tolerated, digested, respect amongst them. So that's a very important lesson for us, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown that this was better. So there's no reproach, there's no reprimanding, but that was the better option. So the kuffar had to give whatever they could afford in ransom. A very heartbreaking incident was that of Abu al-As. Abu al-As was the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi'. Abu al-As ibn al-Rabi' was the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married to Zainab radiallahu anha. At a time when it was permissible to get married to a man who was a non-Muslim, that law came at a later stage. So that's why that nikah still was intact, because that law was not yet revealed. So Zainab radiallahu anha is in Makkah Mukarramah. She hears about this arrangement, and she sends something for the freedom of her son in for her husband Abu al-As, although he was a kafir. But Nabi Sam had glowing words about him. He had very high to speak about him. He was a man who stuck to his word. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of honesty. So Nabi Sam appreciated the qualities of Abu al-As. Amazing. The other daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made hijrah, then they went to the son-in-laws and said, divorce, divorce. So two of the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were divorced, on the instructions of Abu Jahl and company. And they said, whichever way we can inflict injury and pain to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do it. Even if it means giving him pain via the divorce of his daughter, we'll do it. Na'udhu billah. So that also was any father, you know, when something like this happens, that pain only the father knows. So imagine that pain Nabi Sam went through. It doubles also. Now they come to Abu al-As. They tell him, now this is pre-Badr. Divorce your wife Zainab. He says, I'll never. He says, but why? Why wouldn't you? He says, I don't have any problems. Why should I? He says, we've got a problem with Muhammad. Meaning Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you should divorce. He says, whatever it takes, I'm never going to divorce her. And what... he looked after her, he took care of her. Now to Zainab radiallahu anha is sending something for the ransom of her husband Abu al-As. What she sends, amongst the few things that were sent, one was a necklace. So this necklace is presented and it comes and Nabi Sam looks at it. When Nabi Sam sees that necklace, رَقَّ لَهَا رِقَّةً شَدِيدَةً, immediately Nabi Sam had a flash of his daughter Zainab. And Nabi Sam was emotionally broken. Nabi Sam is in tears. His eyes are pooling with tears. He could see he's down, not feeling right. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no unilateral decision, no one-sided, he says something. Nabi Sam says, everyone's share is in this necklace because it's an ransom. But oh my Sahaba, in ra'aytum an tutliqu laha asiraha wa taruddu 'alayha alladhi laha, if you'll feel it appropriate and deem it correct, I want to return this necklace, because this necklace my beloved first wife Khadija radiallahu anha gave to my beloved daughter Zainab when she got married. So I've got a double blow. I'm thinking about my wife that passed away, and I'm having memories of my daughter. What is she going through in the midst of those kuffar? And how is her life? Like, her father is okay, is comfortable. What's happening to my daughter? What's going through her? So Nabi Sam is tearing, he's crying. Can we return this? So the Sahaba says, Ya Rasulallah, by all means, na'am. Nabi Sam says, all of you all think of it properly, because everyone has a share. And everyone says, yes, Ya Rasul. If you are happy with it, we are happy with it. Whatever is your happiness. Nabi Sam says, Abul As, I'm going to give you your freedom. This necklace goes back to your wife. No ransom for you. Others paid. You are for free. Do me one favor. Only one favor. I'm missing my daughter. Take this necklace. Give it back to her. Allow her to leave Makkah Mukarrama, make hijrah and come to Medina Munawwara. That's all I want. He says, deal done, Ya Rasulallah. Deal done. No problem. Later on, he becomes a Muslim. He goes to Medina, Makkah Mukarrama, returns. Give the necklace to his wife, and his wife is allowed now to make hijrah. Doesn't divorce her. He still loves her. But now, Nabi Sam wants his daughter close to him. And eventually, he becomes a Muslim fifth or sixth year after the hijrah. So she is traveling. Eventually, it was a lengthy incident. Some other time, maybe some other journey or another battle, we may talk about that. But Nabi Sallam speaks about Abul As. Nabi Sallam says, حَدَّثَنِي فَصَدَقَنِي وَوَعَدَنِي فَوَفَعَلِي. He was a man that when he spoke the truth. When he promised, he complied and he fulfilled his promises. Yet he was a kafir. And Nabi Sallam speaks about Abul As, who's a kafir, in glowing words. He says he was really a man of integrity and quality. So this was the battle of Badr, and this was the ransom and that was collected, the booties that were distributed over these last few weeks that we have been discussing the battle of Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us love for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like that of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Amazing love that they had. Grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we are able to even sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, the battle of Badr took place so many hundreds of years ago, but till today when we speak about it, it like rejuvenates a spirit, refreshes the iman, it like gives you some boost. Yet we're talking about the incidents of a people that are bygone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. We are able to even sacrifice for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. InshaAllah, intention is next week we will start the battle of Uhud, inshaAllah. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.